Praise God. Thank you, Lord. You can see the title of the day's sermon, The Power of His Name. Oh, the blood will never lose its power, the power of His name. There is power to overcome everything in this world through the name of Jesus. Everything. Look at that scripture with me in Acts 4 and 12. There is no other name under heaven given among men by which we must be saved. Then in Philippians 2, 9, 11, therefore God also has highly exalted him and given him the name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of those in heaven and those on earth and of those under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. What a great, wonderful word that is regarding the glory of Jesus and His name. Also in Scripture, you'll notice in Acts 3, 6 through 10, then verse 16. Then Peter said, "Silver and gold I do not have, but what I do have I give you. In the name of Jesus of Nazareth, rise up and walk." And he took him by the right hand and lifted him up, and immediately his feet and ankle bones received strength. So he, leaping up, stood and walked and entered the temple with them, walking, leaping, and praising God. What a great miracle in the name of Jesus. Then that verse 16, as Peter goes on to explain, "And his name, through faith in his name, has made this man strong whom you see and know." He said, you've known this man to be lame all his life, and now he's walking, and it happened because of Jesus. Yes, the faith which comes through him has given him this perfect soundness in the presence of you all. I like that "you all" because that sounds real Texan to me, as Peter said that. But it's a reminder, is faith in his name. Again, there is power. There is blessing. There are miracles of deliverance and healing and salvation all in the name of Jesus today. Oh, we believe in the power of his name. Praise God for that. Edward Perronet's grandparents had fled France. They first went to Switzerland. Later they came to England. It was the time of the initial Protestant separation from the Catholic Church. And later, Edward Perronet's father became a vicar or a priest in the Anglican Church. Edward became closely associated as a young man. He became closely associated with a fellow by the name of John Wesley. And he began to travel with Wesley's ministry team. And in time, Edward Perronet broke with Wesley over doctrinal issues. And though he had been a gifted writer of hymns and songs, John Wesley excluded all of Edward Perronet's favorite hymns and most famous hymns. He excluded them all from the Methodist hymnal. Well, Edward went on to pastor a small church in Canterbury. But there was another fellow, a missionary, by the name of E.P. Scott. And he had adopted one of Edward's hymns as his personal favorite. And he went on to be a missionary in the Indian subcontinent. It's a very dangerous area. And one day he met a very large party of warriors who surrounded him. And with their spears, they had pointed their spears right at his heart. Well, Reverend E.P. Scott expected to die at any moment. So standing there, he gently took out his violin. He breathed a prayer and he closed his eyes and he began to play and to sing his favorite hymn that had been written by Edward Perronet. All hail the power of Jesus' name. When he got to the words, "Let every kindred and every tribe," he opened his eyes and he stood there and he saw those warriors that were surrounding him. Each one of them had lowered their spear. Some of the men were in tears. And over the next 2 years, Reverend E.P. Scott as a missionary, showed the gospel message and evangelized those warriors and all the members of that tribe in the Indian continent. The song, think about it, the song that had been rejected by John Wesley had stuck in the heart of this missionary, and it had touched the hearts of the savage men that surrounded him. So great is the power of the name of Jesus. Amen. Yeah. Edward Perronet continued faithfully in his small church in Canterbury, where he died in 1792. His last words were recorded by his family when he declared before he died, "Glory to God in the height of his divinity. Glory to God in the depth of his humanity. Glory to God in all his sufficiency. Into his hands I commend my spirit." What a great way to leave this earth. What a great declaration to make. That great song. All hail the power of Jesus' name. Let angels prostrate fall. Bring forth the royal diadem and crown him Lord of all. That song that had initially been excluded from the early Methodist hymnals, though it was later added, that song in years that passed after Edward Perronet had written it became unofficially known as the national anthem of Christianity, sung in churches all around the world. And I imagine there's not a person here in this church today that's not familiar with that great song, "All Hail the Power of Jesus' Name." There is great power in the name of our Savior Jesus. Great power. In the early 1900s, six people went into a house of a sick man to pray for him. He was a leader in the local Episcopal church, and he lay in his bed, very sick and helpless. He had read a little tract about healing, and he'd heard about people praying for the sick. So he sent for these friends that believed in praying for the sick, and they anointed him with oil. And they read that scripture that we often reference here in our church in James 5, 14 and 15. "Is anyone among you sick? Let him call on the elders of the church. Let them pray over him, anointing him with the oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer of faith will save the sick, and the Lord will raise him up." So that group of folks standing around this minister read that scripture. They anointed him and they prayed for him. And after they prayed for him, there was no immediate manifestation of healing. And the man laying there in bed just began to weep bitterly. Well, the six people left his room. In fact, they went outside. And one of them said, "Look, there's one thing we could have done. Let's go back into that room and pray for him one more time." So they all went back in. They got together. And the leader of the group said, "Let's all just whisper the name Jesus." Well, they did. And at first, nothing happened. But they continued just to whisper, "Jesus, Jesus, Jesus." And the power of God fell in that sick man's room. And they all sensed the presence of the Holy Spirit. And they began to speak the name of Jesus even louder and louder. And as they did so, this man had been so sick, he got up out of bed, he dressed himself, and he began to shout the name of Jesus with them. Their faith that day had grasped the power in the name of Jesus. Oh, if only we could appreciate and understand the power in that name. There is no telling what would happen in our lives and our churches if we fully grasp the power in the name of Jesus. Many of you remember and have heard the name of Smith Wigglesworth. Smith Wigglesworth was a great British evangelist. One time he went to the village of Wales to pray for the pastor of a church that was very sick. The pastor had spent years serving God in this small church, but he also had a job. He was bivocational. He had worked in the tin mine to make a living. And in working in that tin mine, he had contracted tuberculosis. Well, for 4 years, this pastor had been a helpless invalid. 4 years. Having even to be fed by others. Well, when Reverend Riddlesworth went to this pastor's home to pray with him, a man who had been helping take care of the pastor and meet his needs began to ridicule Riddlesworth. He began to ridicule and mock the idea of praying for the sick and believing God for a miracle. He's ridiculing it. Well, when Wigglesworth went into the man's room to pray for him, he saw a man that was nothing more than a mass of bones with skin stretched over them. He was emaciated. He was weak. He was helpless. There was no life in him. Everything spoke of death and decay as Wigglesworth looked at this dying pastor. Reverend Wigglesworth asked him, said, "Will you shout? Well, don't you remember that at Jericho the people shouted while the walls were still up? God has a similar victory for you if you'll only shout." But sickness and weakness had so overtaken this pastor that he just even had the faith. There wasn't even an atom of faith there for him even to shout the name of Jesus. Well, as Wigglesworth left that home, he told a man and a woman who had invited him to stay in their home with him, he said, if he could just find 7 people of faith to pray for this man's healing, that he believed God would do that work. Well, the next day, Wigglesworth found that a total of 8 people were ready to go into that man's home again and trust God for his healing. Well, they went into the room. Wigglesworth took the man's hand. They formed a circle in the room, and another one of the men took the other hand of the man. They all knelt down on their knees, and as they knelt down on their knees, they began to whisper one word, Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. And once again, the power of God fell in that room. Wigglesworth reminded the sick man, he reminded him to quit listening to the devil and only believe that God will raise you up. And they continued just to softly say the name, Jesus. And suddenly the man's lips began to move as he began to say the name Jesus with them. And suddenly he broke down crying and he says, I'm bitter in my heart. I know in my bitterness I have grieved the Holy Spirit. The man then repented and he cried out to God. He says, oh God, let this be to your Son's glory. And as he said these words, the power of God went right through him. And everyone in that room, in that circle holding hands, just continued to say, Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. And Smith Wigglesworth said, the man's bed actually began to shake. The man got up out of that bed without any help, was dressed, and walked down the stairs without anybody assisting him. A man who couldn't even feed himself the day before. He walked down the stairs and there was a group of people waiting in the lower level of that home. And they saw him walking down the stairs and they all began to shout and praise God and sing that song, praise God to whom all blessings flow. Praise all creatures here below. Praise him above the heavenly host. Praise Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. And this man, this pastor whom God miraculously healed, he had an incredible testimony, and he shared it with all. And through that testimony, God brought many people to salvation, all because of a belief in the power of the name of Jesus. Do you believe in the power of the name of Jesus today?
Yes.
It's consistent with what has been recorded in the Bible, in the Word of God. We read it earlier in Acts chapter 3, verse 16. And his name, through faith in his name, has made this man strong. And you see and know, yes, the faith which comes through him has given him this perfect soundness in the presence of you all. Again, Peter's explaining to everyone there, this lame man that had been lying there on Solomon's porch, When Peter looked at him, he said, silver and gold I don't have, but in the name of Jesus, rise up and walk. And Peter's explaining, it's the power in the faith of the name of Jesus that has healed this man. That still heals today in the name of Jesus. A beautiful scripture in Matthew 8, 16 and 17. When evening had come, they brought to him, speaking of Jesus, they brought to him many who were demon-possessed. And he cast out the spirits with a word and healed all who were sick, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by Isaiah the prophet, saying, he himself took our infirmities and bore our sicknesses. Do you remember in the ministry of Jesus, he was approached by a leper. Perhaps somebody had told that leper that Jesus could heal him. You know, the problem was that lepers, they couldn't even approach other folks. They had to be completely separate from others that were considered unclean. Ordinarily, it would have been very difficult for a person with leprosy to go anywhere near Jesus. But the crowd surrounded Christ, and Jesus came down on the side of this mountain. I believe he just saw that leper and went straight for him. I believe he didn't even let the leper come to him. He went right to him and went right up to that sick man that everybody said was unclean. And the man, the Bible says the man began to worship Jesus and said, Lord, if you are willing, you can make me clean. What a statement of faith he had, didn't he? He sees Jesus and says, Lord, if you're willing, you can heal me, you can make me clean. Was Jesus willing? Oh, absolutely. In fact, I believe that Jesus is always willing. He's more than willing. The trouble is we don't often come to Him. Or we have little or no faith. I believe that today, in the name of Jesus, there is power for healing and deliverance. And that Jesus, the Word says, is the same yesterday, today, and forever. He's saying when we cry out to Him, I am willing. Reach up to me. Receive from me what I have for you by faith in my name. That wonderful Word of God in Mark's Gospel 9 and 23, if you can believe, all things, y'all see that part? All things are possible to him who believes. Jesus is equal to every occasion. He's waiting for the opportunity to meet needs and to bless. When we receive Jesus, this verse is true. You know this verse is in 1 John 4 and 4. Greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. Y'all believe that today? Greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. He is greater than all the powers of darkness. He is greater than all the strongholds that will be in this earth today. None of us can meet the devil on our own strength. But anyone filled with the knowledge and the power of Jesus and his Holy Spirit is more than a match for the powers of darkness that we resist, not in our strength, but in the power of the name of Jesus. Romans 10 and 17 says, you see those words there, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. The Word of God can create irresistible faith in us, a faith that never gives up, a faith that never fails. You see that word in Luke 18 and 27, but he said, the things which are impossible with men are possible with God. Oh, I believe that, folks. Do you believe that today? Is that in your heart? Is the Holy Spirit just letting that sink in, that word, that the things which are impossible with men are possible with God? Sometimes we forget that God has a supply. Oh, he's got a supply that can never be exhausted. He's got a supply to meet our needs, and it pleases him to reach down to us. Another wonderful scripture in Matthew's Gospel 7:11. If you then, being evil, know how to give good things to your children, how much more your Father who is in heaven give good things to those who ask him? What a great example. We love to bless our children. We love to see them happy and we do things for them. How much more does our Heavenly Father want to reach down and bless us? Hear me today. Don't listen to the defeating whispers of the enemy. Don't listen to the defeating words of the devil, words of doubt, words of uncertainty, words of unbelief. Don't listen to those words. Believe what the Word of God tells us. Let it build faith in our hearts and our lives. I shared this story several years ago. Permit me to share it with you one more time today because it seems so appropriate. My dad would often call home late in the afternoons before my mom would arrive home from her job where she worked as a switchboard operator for Sears and Roebuck. Remember those days where you called and people actually answered the phone and they connected you to the place? Well, that was my mother's job. Dad would call. He called late one afternoon. He was drunk. He was angry. And he was saying that he was coming home and he was going to have to teach mom a lesson. Well, I knew what that meant because it happened so many times before. I would start crying. I would beg my father not to hurt her anymore. I was 9 or 10 years old, and when I hung up the phone, like so many other times before like this, I ran down the street to the corner where we lived on Redbud Drive and Urban Avenue. There was a series of elm trees that had been planted when the neighborhood had first been put together and houses built. And just up from the corner was a big, large elm tree between the sidewalk and the street. And I would climb up in that old elm tree and wait for my mother. I would climb up in the elm tree because if my father came by, he would never see me. And I wouldn't get in trouble for being there to warn my mother that he was coming home. But if I saw my mother's car approaching that corner and was about to turn up our street, I would drop down out of that big elm tree and run up to her and tell her, "Mom, don't go home." Tell her what Dad had said. Often my father would be waiting just a block away and he'd pull in right behind my mother's car and follow her into the driveway, blocking any way of escape so that he could brutalize her and hurt her. But this evening, as I was up in that elm tree waiting, watching for my mother or my father's car, they never came. And darkness came, and I'm still up in that tree. I'm frantic trying to figure out what could have gone wrong. Where's my mother? What's happened? I dropped down out of the tree and I ran back home. My sister had gone to a neighbor's house to stay, and I called her and said, "Come home, something's wrong." Mom never came home. My mother, we didn't know where she was. And we're sitting there trying to figure it out. Suddenly the phone rings in our home. And it's the lady that's the babysitter for my little sister. She's saying, "Where is your mother? She's late. She's not come to pick your sister up." And then we knew something was wrong, but we didn't know what was wrong. What we didn't know was after my father had called late that afternoon, he had gone to the parking lot of Sears Roebuck where my mother worked and waited for her to get off work. When she got off work, he ordered her to get into his car. And once she was in his car, he took and drove her to a desolate spot off of South Loop 12 in South Dallas near the old gravel pits. And he parked his car under a bridge in a place where no one could see them. And it was dark at this time. And of course, he was drunk. He was very drunk. But that night, unlike other nights, he didn't just plan to beat her. He held her and pulled a large knife, a large hunting knife, and he held it up to her throat, declaring that this was the last day on earth for her because she was such a rotten, good-for-nothing woman. As my mother told us the story later that night, she said that she began to cry and begged my father not to do it. To think of the kids being without a mother. Yet she said there seemed to be nothing she could say that would change his determined threats. Weeping and crying, she silently began to pray. And she began to whisper the name Jesus. 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 And she quietly, softly continued just to say the name Jesus over and over as he held her with that knife to her throat. At that moment, My mom knew her only hope was Jesus. My dad put the knife down. He began to swear. He started the car and he drove it out from under that bridge. And he took my mother back to the parking lot where her car was. She got in her car. Dad took off to the nearest bar. Miraculously, just saying the name Jesus over and over and over had turned his sick, angry, twisted mind, and his intent had turned it away. I can still see my mother crying as she told us that story that night when she finally got home, crying and thanking Jesus over and over that he intervened for her, that he saved her once again, and that she got home safe and unhurt. When mom realized, when she knew Christ was the only hope she had, he was there for her, and he met that need. In John's Gospel, John 15 and 5, he says, I am the vine, and you are the branches. He who abides in me, and I in him, bears much fruit. For without me, listen to these last words, without me, you can do nothing. In Mark's Gospel, Mark 9 and 23, listen to these words carefully in Mark's Gospel. If you can believe, if you can believe, all things are possible to him who believes. Can you believe today? Can you believe Jesus to meet every need? Can you believe him to intervene in your life, in your family, in your situation, whatever it may be? We're going to sing a beautiful song. Sherry will lead us in this song, Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. There's just something about that name. And as we start singing, if you will please stand with me this morning. As we start singing this song and worship him as we sing, I want to invite you, I want to challenge you. If there's a need in your life, if you need healing, if you need help of any way, whatever that need may be, step out from that aisle and come forward and stand right in front of this church and face me. Come and believe that today, today, the power in the name of Jesus is going to make a difference in your life.
Thank you, Jesus.
Won't you step out and come forward as we start singing. Sherry, lead us all.
Jesus, Jesus. Jesus.